This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast. And we're definitely in the flow of spring sports at this point. A ton of different games happened. We covered a ton of games last week. Already diving in. We're getting a little bit of weather this week. But Monday, a lot of big games got played as well. So we're really kind of in the thick of it. And, you know, want to start, as we've done for most of this year, with the C&G Smooth Operator of the Week. And we got two of them. Daniel Starr over at Almar Boys Soccer. Let's start with him.
This is a kid who was on the state title team 2 years ago, real solid contributor at a young age there. And now has really, over the last 2 years, sort of grown into his own and become the focal point of this soccer team, this program. I mean, when you have his kind of athleticism and you pair it with physically the gifts that he has, he's a tall, long player. He's one of those guys that you just don't really know how to defend against. And when somebody could be, when anybody's that big and that fast, they create real matchup problems. And you look at the last three games he had last week, against Fluvanna, against Charlottesville, and against Orange, two goals against Fluvanna, a goal and assist against Charlottesville, and then another goal in an Orange game. Almirall Cruz through all three of those. I mean, they're on a real good head of steam right now, and he's the big reason why. I mean, obviously, their defense is playing great, too. But there's just, there's something about a great striker in soccer. We saw it a couple years ago with Almar when Brendan Moyers. I mean, the guy was just, he was just magical.
Yeah.
And it looks like Starr's really sort of doing his thing differently, different style player. Maybe he's got like a little bit more of a Griffin Coffey in him. That was a midfielder instead of a guy playing further up. But just really fun to watch, and obviously a great week for him. And we'll see. We're sort of looking forward to see an Albemarle Western matchup coming up soon. And that should, if Albemarle pulls away from that, they're back in the driver's seat once again of the Jefferson District.
Yeah, it starts headed to Virginia Tech. Obviously a tremendous talent. We know what kind of athlete he is. He played basketball as well. Making that basketball team is no easy task. That's a lot of really good athletes. That's just kind of well-rounded, top-notch athlete that the guy is.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I mean, Virginia Tech soccer really seems to have this area circled. Yeah. Look at that's where Moyers is.
And yeah.
Forrest White is also there from Western, so add another one to the list. And that's pretty cool to have so many Division I soccer players so close in years. I mean, these guys are only 2 years apart. So that's pretty cool. And just a fantastic athlete.
Second C&G Smooth Operator of the Week. It's got to go to Molly Morris over at St. Anne's Belfield Girls Lacrosse. Last couple of years, they've been rebuilding, retooling a little bit after an incredible run that they had with Annie Corey and Julia Haney and that whole group that just torched local teams and really played on that very elite state level of private school girls across the Bishop Byertons and St. Stephen's, St. Agnes.
State Final Four in 2016.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, so they've been rebuilding, but Molly Morris has just been this very steady hand, a sort of bridge between those two eras. She had 13 saves against Covenant, big win for St. Anne's. Always tough when you're playing a rivalry game. And so many good scorers when it comes to Covenant. And Morris really stepped up. They had an incredible second half. I think they 7-1 second half. They held Covenant to just a single goal, which is very tough to do. And we're going to talk about, Covenant is just very talented. You got Winston Archer. You got Lizzie Shim. You got Megan McLaughlin, a lot of players. But Molly Morris stepped up, really played well. The defense in front of her is senior-laden as well. So they really got something good to build on back there as they continue to sort of develop that midfield, develop that attack. A lot of young players up there, but the senior defense is keeping them in some games right now.
Yeah, and we saw her against Collegiate, obviously a game that sort of got away from them at the very end.
But yeah.
They were very close in that game, and that's on the defensive end because, I mean, Collegiate's, they've got some studs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the team to beat sort of in the LIS. Most years when it's not Stab, it's Collegiate.
Yeah.
And so seeing that from them early in the spring, I mean, that's a real good sign for them.
They're going to keep improving all year. They're being coached up well by Mary Blake over there. But Morris is locked in right now. She's seeing the ball really well. That's always a good thing when you got a keeper that's doing that.
So that takes care of the smooth operator of the week for us. But obviously a lot of
players that we've enjoyed watching this spring that maybe we haven't gotten to touch on in that segment. We know who the good teams are. It's clear, you know, where teams are developing. You got your Fluvanna baseball. You got, you know, Madison softball. So we know some of those teams that have really kind of established themselves. But we wanted to jump into 10 players, five boys student athletes, five girls student athletes. We've just been impressed with this spring. Either they've made some improvement or they're back doing what they've been doing before. But five boys, five girls, a top 10 of players that have just played really well this spring and that have really kind of been reaching a different level. And let's start on the girls' side. And Haley Shiflett with Monticello Softball is a good place to start.
Yeah, you look at the run production that she's responsible for right now, and their four recent games that they've had against Central Woodstock, 2 for 3 at the plate, 2 RBIs, and then against Louisa County, 1 for 4 with an RBI. That's the low point right there. Against Western, 2 for 2 with 2 doubles, 5 RBIs, and then against Albemarle, 3 for 5 with 3 RBIs. For where she is in the order to be just plating runners left and right like that, that's absolutely exceptional. And they've got other good hitters on this team. Monticello's actually been one of the better hitting JD teams over the years, particularly for power. They've got Hannah Shiflett, another great bat. But Haley Shiflett, just these last couple weeks, has just been going crazy. And it's pretty impressive to see. I mean, Monticello's got... We talked about them as a team before. Emily Clifford, another great bat for them and a solid pitcher. But if they keep adding kids like Hannah Shiflett and Haley Shiflett to that order where they're just pounding the ball like they are with extra base hits, they're tough to beat. And they should be good come, you know, when it gets to playoff time, that'd be a tough team to face.
Staying in softball, this time a Hannah. Hannah Johnson with Madison is just she's special, man. On a team full of special kids, she's a special player.
It's fascinating how Madison went from. I mean, this was a defensive team with great pitching last year and timely hitting, and they have the same defense basically back, minus a couple infielders, same pitching, which has only gotten better. And then their bats are just out of this world. They're pounding people right now. They're winning games 18-1, 14-3. They're really rolling. And Hannah Johnson, she's hitting in the middle of the order, and she's sort of taking over as one of the power bats. What they needed when they lost Kara Price to graduation last year. Really important first baseman for her, and really clutch sort of power hitter. But yeah, you look at her lines against Clark, 2 for 5 with 4 RBIs and a home run. And then before that against Central, an 8-1 win, 2 for 3 with an RBI. So she's just constantly getting on base. And this is a team that usually runs the bases pretty well. I mean, I think team speed-wise, this is probably the fastest we've seen Madison in quite some time. It's unfair that a team that was already so good is having players like Hannah Johnson develop into what they've become this season. If she keeps hitting like they do, I mean, it really doesn't matter what Emily Seale and Logan Estes do in the circle pitching. Those girls aren't going to give up 10 runs a game.
No.
And Madison scoring them 10 runs a game, a large part thanks to Hannah Johnson there.
So staying in softball, Almar, they've been outscoring some people, putting up a lot of big run time game. They won a 12-10 game against Louisa. They won I think it was a 9-7 game against Harrisonburg. And Cassie Pace is a big reason why. She hit .450 last year, and against Harrisonburg earlier this week, 6 RBI. Power hitting first baseman gives them a lot of really, a lot of,
something they can count on right there in the middle of that order.
Yeah, she hits the ball hard. You know, she squares it up pretty clean. And even though Albemarle's been interesting because they had a big win over Orange last week. That was big. They had to bounce back from this kind of odd Monticello loss where Monticello really just kept putting up the numbers like crazy. But Pace, even in that game, late, she forced them to play seven innings. That was going to be a five-inning run ruling, but she drives in two runs late. And so Albemarle's on the board. And, you know, that those are kind of developmental innings that you get added to your season that really matter. And then you can tell because they bounce back the next week and then they're piling up some wins. So, Pace, having just that reliable bat, you know, somebody who's not just going to get on base, but somebody who's going to get on base and really smoke the ball, really sort of get the crowd rolling and make the defense run, particularly in the outfield.
So then we flip over from that's three softball players that have been a lot of fun to watch. Now you look at soccer. Savannah Wilson at Western seems to really be emerging as one of the area's best and one of 3A's best. She's just been playing tremendous for the Warriors. You know, a goal and an assist against Charlottesville. And on a loaded roster, she seems to be a little bit of a unifying force because she's just so good in the middle. And she just really can, and then she can kind of attack on the wing. She put up a really nice, crossing pass against Charlottesville, and then that banged off of Abby Zimmerman's foot right into the goal. And Zimmerman, you know, you can look at it, Albemarle Western are, you know, the defending state champs for a reason, and they got a lot of players back. And Albemarle has Fizzy Gonzalez that does a lot of finishing, but they've got a lot of players like Gracie Williams that make a lot of plays in the midfield or come up with plays from defense. Savannah Wilson is similar for Western to those players, while Zimmerman is you know, up there in the race for most goals in the area. You know, Savannah Wilson's one who's getting it done. She's really making a lot of really big plays. She's helping them keep possession. She's beating people. There was a move against Charlottesville where it was like three or four different step overs. I couldn't really keep up with exactly what she'd done. And then, boom, she was past the defender. And she had been facing the sideline with the ball. And then suddenly she was just taken off toward the goal after a really quick, fancy move. So a really big... big time player for them.
Yeah, and you really like you look at that. You mentioned Albemarle and Western sort of in the standings, and they're both. I think they have the exact same record right now, and we've got that matchup looming. That's going to be really interesting to see how Wilson sort of inserts herself in that game. And while both teams brought a lot back, I feel like Western had more changes to make almost than Albemarle. I mean, Albemarle had a lot of defensive players graduate, but it just seems like it's sort of. One of those things where Western is going to be able to throw a different wrinkle at Albemarle this time.
Yeah, I think they'd
be really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you have Savannah Wilson back, you have, you know, Abby Zimmerman back, you have, you know, there's Fabiano, there's just a laundry list of players that are back, the Bergs. I mean, a lot of Western had a lot to work with, but yeah, they had to make some changes. They had to figure some things out. Albemarle had to make some changes, figure things out too. So it's going to be fun to see when those kind of lock up. But Savannah Wilson's just been playing her tail off lately. And then you flip over to Albemarle Girls Lacrosse. They won. They're the official first half of the season champions in the JD. It's a very tight race in Jefferson District Girls Lacrosse. There's Albemarle, Monticello, Western, and they're all within just a couple of goals of each other. And so, you know, when you pick up a win over Western and then you turn around and you pick up a win over Monticello, and then Monticello and Western have to play each other at the end of that round robin, Albemarle had to be feeling really good about things. They've been keeping it rolling. And the girl, you know, obviously a ton of scorers, ton of players that can really do a lot of different things. But that keeper for them, Caroline Shepherd, always rock solid. She had 12 saves against Monticello. They gave up a bunch of goals against Western, but you're going to do that. Western is very tough. But a really, you know, excellent effort on the back end for them. And she can really be a difference maker. When she's hot, when she's seeing the ball really well, they can become really tough. And they pulled away in a big way in the second half. And Shepherd was a big part of that. She's just making stops. So Caroline Shepherd, certainly a name that we've enjoyed, a player we've enjoyed watching this spring, for sure. Over on the boys' side, let's pick up five names over there. And I think it's pretty easy to start with a guy who had one of the most impressive individual efforts of the spring so far, Riley Owen with Marua Baseball. Just a tremendous hurler for them.
Yeah, I mean, you go back just a couple starts ago. We'll go through his last two starts. He wound up with a no decision against TA. We'll go there second. But Madison County, 15 strikeouts, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits given up.
15 strikeouts.
Yeah, a 7-inning game. And that was a close game until just the very end. Yeah.
Continues a long line of good Monroe pitchers, guys that were just true aces.
RJ Payne, all these guys.
Jordan Gentry.
Jordan Gentry, yep. I mean, Cody was another big one for them. But yeah, Monroe just never stops throwing out dudes that can just straight up sling it. Against Turner Ashby, I mean, one of the better teams Monroe's going to face. 5.2 innings pitched, you're looking at 9 Ks and 3 hits. That's a really strong roster that TA has. A lot of the other teams, some of our other area teams have gone up against it, but perennially one of the best teams in baseball. For Monroe to have to lose Payne like they did and have Owen to come in as a younger athlete and throw with the confidence that he has and really just to be that dominant of a guy is pretty impressive because this is a pretty young team still. I mean, it was a very young team last year. You know, the 2 seniors, I think, total on the team. So I think we're going to see Monroe sort of come into its own, and they're going to do it around Owen. And that is a feisty team. They've always, as a program, they've always played, you know, when they get jacked up, they get really sort of in the red, and the runs just sort of pour through. And it's easy to do that when you have a guy on the mound that's just mowing through batters, picking up one clutch strikeout and another. That guy worked in the TA game, lost in the sort of no decision, is the number of jams he pitched out of, you know, inducing ground balls and getting some strikeouts to help himself out. You know, he's got a solid defense around him, but sometimes a pitcher just has to find a way to get it out himself, and he certainly did that. And that's a win that I think will propel Monroe into greater things in their Northwestern district. They look like they might be the team to beat in that one.
Another young pitcher, another maybe a guy that you didn't know his name going into this year, Noah Brown out at Fluvanna County. You know, they've got pitchers on pitchers on pitchers, but Noah Brown has been really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Ward was expected to be the guy, and I mean, after what we saw on Monday.
Perfect game against Monticello last year, you had to believe it, and he looked like the guy this Monday against Western.
So
3 strikeouts in a complete game effort.
It's safe to say he's back.
Kevin Ward's in good shape.
And they've got a number of other arms that they can sort of work with, and they've been really smart about it, sort of out of district play, using as many of them as they can. And Noah Brown's been the one that, you know, early on in the season, Coach Joel Gray was sort of most impressed by how consistent he was. And so we'll go through his first 3 starts. You look at Goochland, 4 innings, 5 K, 1 hit given up. Against Fork Union, again, they sort of staffed together with 3 different guys. He pitched the middle portion of it with 3.2 innings, 5 Ks, 1 hit. And then against Monticello just last week, he got 6 innings pitched, 11 K, no hits, 1 walk. If that's your number 2 starter on your team, you're doing fantastic.
And other guys, Holyfield, Andrew Brown, a lot of guys who can throw for them.
Yeah, Kyle Algieri's another one. So they have, the pitching depth, there's no such thing as too much in this sport. We especially see it in the postseason.
No question.
And then especially with rain delays, when you're all of a sudden you think you're only playing, you know, 2 games, and it becomes, oh, we got 3 games. No, actually, we got 4 games this week. So how are we going to sort of manage those innings? You know, having a kid like Noah Brown step up and be the inning chewer that he has as of recent. I mean, 2 innings pitched against Powhatan, 2 runs given up, you know, maybe not his best start, but also the team that is far and ahead right now in the JD. Powhatan's in the driver's seat.
Powhatan's in good shape.
Yep, they're doing really well. So nothing to be ashamed of there. But yeah, Noah Brown for Fluvanna. I mean, this team has a lot of little other underlying stories around it, and you can't forget about what he's doing. His stats, you know, suggest that he's really carrying a lot of the load for them.
We flip over out of the baseball world into lacrosse. 2 really big wins for local squads over the weekend. Started on Friday with Stab Lacrosse, and a guy that I've really enjoyed watching, Michael Giacomo, has just been fantastic. He is a rock, kind of does whatever Stapp needs him to do, you know, whether it's play LSM or whether it's wherever they need to put that guy, he's been willing to go. He's kind of put the team first over the years, and it's paying off in a big way. You know, it's not going to show up statistically because he's a defender, but he did score against St. Chris, and they beat St. Chris, a very tough prep league opponent, 7-4. Holding a team like that to four goals, big testament to the keeper, Jeffrey Perkins, but also Giacomo and these other guys that are a big part of what they do defensively. That's a really big strength for this Stab team. And, you know, when you get that kind of play from a defense, it can help erase some other deficiencies. It can erase an offense that looked a little bit out of sync in the second half, didn't really have they didn't have that initiative that they did in the first half. And, you know, when you can win a game against a prep league opponent and you only score one goal in the second half, you know how good that defense is playing. And this is a guy who's just been special for them for a number of years.
Yeah, and another win after that against VES, 16-6.
Well, that on Monday, yeah.
Yeah, so sort of them getting a little bit of momentum before they head off to Cape Henry Collegiate. Yeah, they need it because they got Norfolk Academy coming up just this Saturday, which is a great game.
Stab schedule is never easy, and four losses in a row, like, they're not going to get a breather. They immediately jumped into St. Chris, and but they're able to get the job done. And yeah, they've sort of gotten back on track.
Yeah, that's huge for them. I mean, momentum's such a thing in lacrosse. Like, it's just, it's a tangible thing.
Yeah. Also in lacrosse, you got to look at Blue Ridge got a really impressive win. Not just obviously the margin of victory over Highland was great, but it was also that they were playing shorthanded, missing a number of key players. And that makes things tough. Highland is a program that's traditionally been very good. And Blue Ridge really took care of business in a big way. We know what Shane Ford and Ty Ewan bring to the table, but I was really impressed. They got a big man. I am always in support of big men playing attack. I think it just creates a lot of matchup problems. You get that height. Sometimes you can screen the keep. I mean, just a lot of things that a big man can do. And I think that's it's a throwback move to have the big man play attack. But Liam Morin for Blue Ridge just had a tremendous game against Highland. And when defenses are focusing on Ford and Ewan, that frees Morin up a little bit. Five goals for the big man and an assist. Five goals for Ford, five goals for Ewan as well. But Morin gives them an added dimension on that offense and can really be, you know, a special piece of the puzzle for them as they try and claw their way into that state playoff race in Division One. That's it. Obviously always a very tough division. Private school lacrosse is just quality, and a lot of really quality teams. And Blue Ridge right now has itself in position to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, since they've lost collegiate, they beat Flint Hill, Virginia Episcopal, Middleburg, Hargrave, Highland, and then Roanoke Catholic. I mean, that's a pretty good stretch for them. And they're not just winning these games. I mean, Roanoke Catholic's 20-4, Highland, you mentioned, 21-7, Hargrave 18-0, Middleburg 18-2.
And any win against VES is a good win. I mean, that's a
15-11.
Yeah. Probable D2 champion, maybe. And so that's just a good victory. They've got a number of good ones, and they barely missed out, I think, on St. Chris earlier in the year. I mean, this is a Blue Ridge
9-7. Yep.
Yeah, Blue Ridge team is playing really well right now. They got a lot of momentum, and like you said, momentum's a big thing when it comes to lacrosse. So that kind of gives you an idea of where you know, those guys stand. And Morin, fun to see a new face step up in a big way, and Giacomo, fun to see a guy who's been so instrumental for a team continue to be that as he kind of comes to the close of his career, but. Boys soccer, you know, if there's one team, last year, the story of spring, it felt like in a lot of ways, was B.B. Osman and what he was doing with and Evan Blow and those guys with CHS boys soccer making their run to the state championship game. And now they turn to a new guy, Campbell Brickhouse. Not a new guy in the general sense of things, but a new guy is like the key number one scorer. And Brickhouse has just been really good. Two goals against Western on Monday night. He has really grown into that role.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have it because you lost Yahya Muhammad, you lost B.B. Osman, and you lost Evan Blow.
Gotta have leaders.
So something's got to step up. This is a Charlottesville team that, you know, we didn't get to see them at 100% against Albemarle. They were missing a lot of kids. You know, they're banged up a little bit, and they also had an orchestra night where a whole bunch of kids were participating in that, so they couldn't make the game. These things happen, but he's back against Western, and yeah, those two goals. You know, the first one was just an absolute beauty. I mean, there's nothing you can do if you're Western. It was just perfectly executed, give and go between him and Joe Von Storch. Who, you know, there's another guy.
That's a player.
There's another guy stepping up. You know, that's a soccer family right there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they come from a good pedigree. And, yeah, Brickhouse, I mean, if you're going to have somebody step up, why not him? Like, you're going to need one guy to really carry the load. So it looks like he's going to be the guy early on. We'll see if they can develop more. But this team, I mean, I think what makes them – so interesting is I think this might be a more physical Charlottesville team than we've seen in years past. And that's not something they've ever shied away from.
No.
And when I say physical, I mean, these are big kids. They're taller kids. I mean, against Western, they ran like gazelles. They were moving down the field. And Brickhouse was really tough to mark up. Yeah, this is a different Charlottesville team from last year, but still more of the same.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've really just sort of asserted themselves back into that top three with the other two usual suspects. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them going forward, and he's a big reason why.
No question about it. So that's 10 players, 10 athletes that we've really enjoyed seeing this spring already. We're getting a lot more games to come, a lot more happening, and we're really starting to actually trend towards playoffs time. I mean, I've already seen some senior nights. So
private
so we're getting
school
there.
Playoffs are
yeah, right around the corner. Yeah. So a lot of games to be played, a lot of stuff to watch, and we really appreciate you coming along with us.